Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you that know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. Before we start today, as always, we want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're just so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been so good to us, so much better than we'd ever deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us, Father, that as we preach your word, that your word could touch the hearers, that those that are saved could be revived, strengthened, and encouraged, those that are lost could see their need to turn and trust in Jesus before it be everlasting too late. And Father, as always, help us to preach your message and not that of ourselves. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen. As we come today, we're in the book of Romans chapter 10. We dealt last week with Romans chapter 9 and showing that the subject there is Israel and that God had planned, or God foreknew that Israel would reject Christ, that they would stumble at the stumbling stone, and that God had prepared that he would turn his attention unto the Gentiles, which are the people that make up most of the New Testament church in our day and time. And so we get to chapter 10, and he's continuing that thought about how Israel were not saved because they didn't seek it by faith. They sought it by their own works. They sought it by the law and different things. And so God had to turn away from that because that's not the truth. And he had to turn to those who were receiving the truth, which ended up mainly being the Gentiles. But it's not that people from Israel couldn't be saved. Again, there's people today that are Israelites according to the flesh, that are Jews according to the flesh, that are saved. God will save whosoever will believe upon his promise. But when you reject the promise of God in Jesus Christ and you choose something else, well, God's not going to accept that. God's not going to go along with that. And so he's still focused on Israel. And as he begins in verse 1 of Romans chapter 10, Paul, led of the Holy Spirit, says, "Brethren," talking to the whole church, whether Jews or Gentiles, he's saying, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You can see his burden. And I've probably stated this several times, and it's worth repeating every time. Even though Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, in every city he went to, where was the first place he stopped? He stopped at synagogues, didn't he? He stopped to preach to the Jews. Every time you find him going into a town and they had a synagogue, first thing you see is he went to the synagogue. Man, he was there on the Sabbath and he started preaching Christ. Unto who? The Israelites. He wanted to see as many Israelites as he could be saved. He said, "Listen, it's my heart's desire. I'm praying to God for this. I'm asking God to save my kinsmen according to the flesh." He said, "I want to see them saved." And then he begins talking about them. He says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." And he wasn't just bearing that record saying, "I've got the word of God to testify this to you." He's saying, "I did that. The record's in my life." He said, "I had that zeal. I was the Hebrews of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. I was of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised on the eighth day, touching the law blameless." He's saying, "I was that. But I found out that didn't save me. And that wasn't what was necessary. That's not what was needful. That's not what God, even in the Old Testament, commanded." He said, "I bear that record." And these Israelites, yes, they have a zeal of God. And let me tell you this, there are Hindus that have a zeal for God. There are Buddhists that have a zeal for God. There are Jews that have a zeal for God. There are Muslims that have a zeal for God. But it's not according to knowledge. In other words, they're lost and in their sins. You can be very zealous about something and be zealously wrong. And Paul was that one time. He went and persecuted the church. He said, God, I'm for you. And these people preaching what I believe. What I believe to be false doctrine. I'm going to persecute them. I'm going to get after them. I'm going to put them in prison. I'll even have some of them killed. And he did. Oh, he had a zeal. A zeal that would have led him to hell. Because it wasn't according to knowledge of the truth of the Word of God. He said, for they, the Israelites, being ignorant of God's righteousness. What is God's righteousness? Christ is God's righteousness. Well, you can even get more into that. The law is God's standard of righteousness. And what did Christ do? He came and fulfilled the law. He kept the whole law. And sadly, we got some today that try to have him violating the law to justify their sins and stuff. I've had some people tell me, you know, Jesus had a tattoo or all these other things. I'm going, do you know if Jesus had a tattoo, he had broke the Old Testament law and is no longer worthy to be our sacrifice? It's amazing what people will try to justify. And I'd like to tell them, a vesture means clothing. Having your name written or something on a vesture means clothing. And even when it says on his thigh means clothing. If you study some of the Old Testament clothing, there was a part of the clothing that went down on a tie that a lot of people, you know, would have things written upon. Some people would have the law. Some people would have, you know, different things that they might have. We have that sometimes in belts today. That's all it means. And to try to make Christ break the law makes no sense to me. Except that people are trying to justify their sins, and it shows that they have no knowledge. But trust me, they're not the only ones without knowledge, because even the Jews didn't understand God's righteousness. None of us can keep the law. God showed that evident. As we've already gone through in the book of Romans, he went back to the Old Testament and showed us by evidence of the Old Testament that none of us were justified by the law. That all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God by the law. And only one has kept the law, fulfilled the law, God's standard of righteousness, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law for us and then took that perfect sacrifice as he was without sin and died on the cross of Calvary, becoming the sacrifice, the perfect sinless sacrifice for our sins, that his blood could be imputed to us for righteousness. That is God's righteousness. Jesus Christ is God's righteousness. But the Jews were ignorant of God's righteousness. And what they did is what many other people have done throughout the centuries, and many false religions have done throughout the centuries, and even false so-called Christians in our day and time try to do. They try to go about and establish their own righteousness. They'll say baptism, or they'll say the priest can forgive sins, or they'll say, well, if you live a good enough life, God will accept you. And they'll come up with all kinds of things. Well, if you just repeat this prayer, God will save you. And they'll come up with all kinds of things. But it's faith from the heart in Jesus Christ alone that saves. Seeing yourself as a sinner and turning by faith in Christ in the heart is what saves. But they go about to establish their own righteousness. And when they do that, he says, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And if we don't submit ourselves to the righteousness of God, will we be accepted by God? The answer to that is no. Verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. A lot of people say, well, the law has been done away with. The law has not been done away with. Jesus Christ himself said he didn't come to end the law, he came to fulfill the law. But for righteousness, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That it's not about all of what we have done or have not done, it's about what we've put our faith in, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is the righteousness of God. Therefore, Christ is the end of the law, and this part is important, for righteousness to everyone, whether Jew or Gentile, that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Can any of you, not just the Ten Commandments, that'll be hard enough to do, can any of you uphold the standard of the law in your life? Because if you break in one of the least commandments, you're guilty of all according to the law. All that shows is that we're all guilty. And Moses preached that message so that they would understand that it's not the law that saves them, but what the law represented in Christ. What those sacrifices represented was to point to Christ. What the promise made unto Abraham was to point to Christ. He said, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The Word of God, the truth, is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach. What is he saying here unto Israel? Because still, in Romans chapter 10, the focus that Paul is dealing with here is what? Israel. And he's saying to them, don't you understand? You have Moses. You have the prophets. You have all this told to you. It's right there. It's nigh. It's right there at your mouth. Don't you see that faith has been preached from Genesis all the way through all the Old Testament? He's saying, don't you get it? You have the Word. And you can see the burden on his heart as his heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I mean, you can see this man with the burning desire and the burden that he had for his people saying, don't you hear what the Word of God that you find so dear says? Won't you listen to it? He's saying it's telling you belief upon Christ. Don't you hear it? It's nigh thee. It's right there at thy mouth. He said, that's the message we preach. He said, it's in thy mouth, it's in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Do you know what they used to preach Christ in the early church? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Genesis, Psalms, Deuteronomy. They used, as we mentioned last week, Hosea. They went back to the Old Testament and they took the Scriptures out of the Old Testament and they said, don't you see how this is Christ? He said, it's what we're preaching. It's the promises that you've been waiting on. He's saying, don't you see it? He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He's saying, don't you see that if you'll believe in Christ and what he did for you, becoming the sacrifice for your sins, that God will save you? For with the heart, this is very important, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's not just words that we repeat. It's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all Jews, Gentiles, it doesn't matter. He's rich unto all that call upon Him. For God desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that tears down that predestination doctrine of some have been predestined to heaven and some have been predestined to hell, doesn't it? You put everything in context and you put it together, that doesn't fit. But that Israel would turn away from God, that does fit. That the Gentiles would turn to God, that does fit. And he's saying, can't you see that this same God, the creator of all the world, that he desires all that call upon him to be saved? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And that's very important. You can call on God all the day long, but if you haven't really believed in your heart, all you're doing is saying words. If you're going to call upon Him, you're calling on Him because you believe in your heart. And then He says, and how shall they believe on Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Somebody's got to carry the message to them. Somebody's got to share the gospel with them. And those people that carry the gospel, those people that do the work of God, He says, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And good God-called ministers that preach the truth of the gospel. Oh, that is a good thing. And I'm thankful for all the good God-called ministers who preach the truth. Who don't preach it in priest tents. Who are not focused on some numbers on a board, but are focused about individual souls really knowing Christ as their Savior. It's one of the reasons I don't do repeated prayer. It's one of the reasons I don't play games. It's one of the reasons we just preach the gospel. I don't want you to think that you're saved. I want you to know that you're saved. And if you believed in your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ, trust me, you'll know it. You'll know that you did what God said to do, and that's believe upon Christ. And that kind of salvation is not easily meddled with. It's not something easy for the devil to try to dismiss. Because he say, no, I know exactly what I did, and I know exactly what God did. He fulfilled His promise when I believed upon His promise in Jesus Christ. He saved me, He sealed me unto the day of redemption. And when it's not just words, when it's not a preacher that told you you're saved, when it's not just being dunked in the water, when it's not just some so-called spiritual gift or all these other things, but when it's faith in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, you got something that can't be taken away. And the people that preach that message, oh, how beautiful are the feet of them that carry that message into the world. But then Isaiah 53 verse 1, also repeated here in Romans chapter 10 verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And trust me, when you preach the true gospel and it's not games and it's not entertainment and it's not all these other things, but you're focused on people actually knowing the true gospel and actually trusting in Christ, trust me, there are a lot of times when you're going, Lord, who's believed our report? But some have, haven't they? Even some Jews have, haven't they? So then faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Notice it's not just the preacher there. We're nothing without the Word of God. We don't have power within ourselves. The only power we carry is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And by the aid of the Holy Spirit, it's able to touch the hearts of those that are listening. It's not us. It's the Word of God that has the power, the Word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. And that part being the ends of the world, he's just talking about, it's covered all the earth. every corner, every place you could go. That's what he's talking about there. And let me ask you this today. Can you go to Africa and people know about Jesus Christ? Can you go to Australia and people know about Jesus Christ? Can you go to East Asia and people know about Jesus Christ? Can you go to Europe and people know about Jesus Christ? Can you go to South America and people have heard of Jesus Christ? Can you go to North America and people have heard about Jesus Christ? It's been preached throughout all the world. They've heard. Then he comes back and deals with Israel. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. You know how many Jews were upset, even within the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the gospel started to be preached unto the Gentiles? Go read the book of Acts. Oh, there were a lot of Jews in the early church there at Jerusalem. Whew, they had some problems with the Israelites taking the gospel to the Gentiles. They had some problems accepting it. Can you imagine how much more when the Jews naturally, who had for years not, it had been unlawful for them even to go into a Gentile's home? Now see these Jews going into Gentile's home and sharing the gospel with them? Well, that can't be the truth. They're going to these heathens. That's what they said. And they got angry. They stumbled at the stumbling stone. They didn't even read their own Bibles. The Old Testament that they had then to see that's exactly what God said would happen. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. I'll say this, my heathen descendants, and I don't know how far back that goes, but I'm a Gentile, so that's not an if, it's the fact. I have heathen people in my family somewhere back down the line. I haven't studied enough to know how far back it goes. But somewhere in my family line that had served heathen religions for centuries, they didn't seek the true God. They didn't seek the truth of Christ. Somebody came to them and preached something that they had never heard before that went against everything they had known for centuries. No doubt there was probably some in my family that persecuted the preachers that carried the gospel to them. There were many that rejected it, fought against it. But somewhere, the truth of the gospel got to my family. And they believed it. And Christ was found to them that didn't seek Him. He sought them. He was made manifest unto them. I didn't even know who the true God was. Just like Paul on Mars Hill when he said, I notice you have a temple here unto the unknown God. He said, let me tell you about Him. The Creator of this world. The Creator of all things. The One that you rejected so many years ago and then established your own religion again. That goes back to Romans chapter 1, doesn't it? He said, let me tell you about that. And many of those Gentiles believed. The truth is what sets men free. And Christ was found of them that sought Him not. He was made manifest unto them that asked not after Him. But to Israel He saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And what He's saying here at the end of Romans chapter 10, He says, I wanted to save you, but you rejected me. I wanted you to know the truth, and I wanted you to be saved. I mean, remember how Jesus looked over Israel and how He talked about how he wanted to be that mother hen. He wanted to gather the chicks in. He said, that's the way that I desired. And he wept over Israel. He wept over Jerusalem. He said, I wanted to bring you in, but you would not. And God in His foreknowledge knew what they were going to do. And He said, you know what? Since I know what they're going to do, I'll turn around and use it for my benefit. I'll use it to accomplish my will. And He prophesied in all those Old Testament prophecies. From Isaiah. From Hosea. From Moses' writings in Deuteronomy. And He prophesied how He would turn His attention unto the Gentiles, the people that didn't seek Him, a people who didn't go after Him, that He would reveal Himself unto them, and how they would accept Him, and how Israel would reject. And it wasn't because God didn't desire Israel to be saved. He did. But they were disobedient. They rejected the truth. And they gave themselves over to a lie. And went to establish their own righteousness instead of establishing the righteousness of God that was promised through Jesus Christ. Dear friend, today I don't know your condition. I don't know who you are. Maybe I've got a Jew or many Jews listening to me this morning. Maybe you're a Gentile. I don't know your situation. And I don't know what religion you've been a part of. I don't know what things. But I know this. God has one way of salvation. And that's Jesus Christ. And the only way you're saved is not by repeating a prayer, not by joining a church, not by getting dunked in the water, not by receiving some spiritual gift and all these other things. The Bible says there's one way to be saved. And that is believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Has God showed you that you're a sinner and that you are unable to save yourself? And has He not showed you that Christ is the only way of salvation? If you see those truths and you'll turn by faith and believe upon Christ, God will save you for Christ's sake. That's our burden. That's our prayer. And if there's any way we could be a help, an encouragement, a blessing to you, we want you to feel free. Our number is 601-544-7920. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can certainly come and visit us where we pastor. We work with two small churches, New Zion and Richton, which the address for New Zion and Richton is 341 Cochran Road, Richton, Mississippi. They have 9 o'clock Sunday morning service. You're more than welcome to come. We also work with Faith Missionary Baptist Church at 12266 Airport Boulevard, Mobile, Alabama. They have 11:30 Sunday morning service, 4 o'clock Sunday evening service, 7 o'clock Tuesday night service. You're more than welcome to come and be in these services. If you need more directions than that, again, we'll be glad to get those to you. If you'd like more information on some of the radio work that we do and different things, we'd be glad to get that to you. If you'd like more information on the beliefs that we have, you can find a lot of that at FaithwayMissionaryBaptist.com, a website we're affiliated with. Any way God could use us to be a help, we want to do that. And we want you to feel free. And one more time, our phone number is 601-544-7920. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll take this message, use it to Your honor and glory, and for the good that is accomplished through it. Let us step aside and give You the praise, for it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.